So, I thought the easiest way to share my testimony was I really liked Teresa included a bunch of pictures. I think pictures speak a thousand words, right? So, I'm going to be sharing a bunch of pictures, and specifically, I'm going to share my testimony as told through the lens of the Church Universal, the Big C Church, God's church, and the many different buildings, and more importantly, the people who filled those buildings' impact on my life. So I guess you could say the story starts here at Donald's Creek Church of the Brethren. This is where my grandma grew up attending, and it's where my grandparents on my father's side got married. They were a part of the Church of the Brethren their whole lives. In fact, my grandpa, he ended up becoming a surveyor during World War II as a conscientious objector because of the beliefs of the Church of the Brethren. This is the church my grandparents on my mother's side attended, Lithopolis United Methodist Church, and it is, I don't know, 2 or 3 miles from where I grew up. So it was very close to us. My parents actually met at this church and got married at this church. My sister also got married at this church. They weren't attending at the time, but they got married in this building. This is really my earliest exposure, and obviously by early I mean like as early as possible. There were plenty of Sundays where I went to church with my grandma to give my parents a break. And it was early exposure to very liturgical services. And so I got a lot of precious memories in this building. Every Christmas Eve they do a candlelight service, and that's very, I think I learned how to be in awe of God at this church. This is the church I grew up in and the church I was baptized in, New Hope. It's not New Hope anymore. As you can see, the name on the building's changed. But yeah, we went there until I was, from when I was born to when I was about 9 years old. And here's a picture of me, little Daniel, being baptized. They gave us a mic and let us talk in front of everyone. I don't know why. But I nailed it. I said, "Jesus loves you." So, 5 in that picture. Then this is an AI-generated picture of what a house looked like at the time I attended house churches. So there was a group of us, about 4 or 5 families, that would go from each house every Sunday and worship together. And we did that for 2 or 3 years. It's in this context that I was first baptized in the Holy Spirit. I didn't really know what was, I didn't have the words or the theology for what that was, but we'd have worship services in people's houses, and when you're in such an intimate context, surrounded by adults who are all filled with the Holy Spirit, I remember worshiping one morning and just, I was 9 years old and having a flood of God's peace and joy. A 9-year-old doesn't really have the context for that, so it had to have been God. So that was a really special season of my life, and I think in that context, I learned that my faith was my own, and it wasn't, you know, the kids weren't carted off to be separate. We experienced God together as a community. So here's an example, some pictures of house church in the past year. So this is one that keeps coming back. the picture there with Martin with his grandma. That was this past snowstorm where we got to worship together in our home. Super glad to be living with them. That's like, for those who don't know, we moved in with Christiana's parents, and we live in the same house just for times like this. And then the other picture is Easter Sunday during COVID. I don't know if you guys remember that, doing worship on our couches. So no matter what season of life, whatever weather throws at you or global pandemics, you can have church in your home with people. So super special. I'd also like to say about house churches that, kind of going back to the intimacy of the house church when we met on Sundays, I can't tell you how many Bible studies, prayer meetings have happened in my home growing up, in my home now. God really does meet. He doesn't have to be in a big building. He can be and is often in big buildings with lots of people, but that's one place God has met me, so that's house churches. Now, Open Door Fellowship is a church we got connected through. They're kind of like a sister church of the New Hope Church I grew up in, and so we knew people there. And I attended here all through middle school with my siblings. So I'm fourth out of five, and so my older sister at the time was in her earlier mid-20s, and she would cart us off to this church on Sundays and on Wednesday nights to attend church here, because I think the draw for us was they had a really robust youth group, that really like a community was there. And like if the house church really taught me to make faith my own, this really like solidified that, you know, I don't have to go with my sisters to this church and on Sundays and Wednesdays, but it like the hunger for being in God's presence, being with God's people, drew us there. So my sister actually met her husband here at this church, and we recently went back to attend his father's funeral there, and got to see a lot of people from that time in my life, some of who had attended our wedding and been praying for us pretty much every step of the way. So lots of good people from this church. And that's kind of a theme of all of these places, is like every step of the way, God has just brought more and more people into our lives who don't go away, even though you don't see them super often. The way they cover you in prayers, the memories, the lessons they teach you, it's stuck with me my whole life. So this was a Pentecostal church too, so worship was pretty fun. All right, Veritas Community Church West. Veritas West is what we called it. There's actually Veritas Dayton, if anyone is familiar. Veritas means truth. I attended Veritas during high school, and this was my first exposure to Reformed doctrine. My brother was actually, he did like an internship here for a little while, and in the course of that, he was being discipled by the pastor there, and that was right when I came to Wright State for college. And so on Sundays, I travel back and attend here on Sundays, which was a long drive because it was Columbus. So it was the west side of Columbus, but it was still Columbus. And I remember one late evening, you know, I was sharing my burden of like, it's hard to find a church out in Dayton, like one for myself, because I'd always attended with family, wherever I went. I was with family. And he was like, listen, you need to get plugged in. You need community. You need discipleship. You need someone like pouring into you. And he's like, have you heard of TULIP? Do you know what TULIP is? I was like, what's TULIP? He's like, that God's like providential and like, you know, you have free will, but your free will is to sin. And I was like, what? What is... He challenged me, and I really learned God's providence through the people at this church. And that's been really a benefit. And their emphasis on discipleship and community, and my brother's kind of pressure on me to do that is what drove me to step out of my comfort zone and join GCF. And funny story is... I'd had this pamphlet for RCF, the campus ministry, for like months. And I was like, oh, I'll get around to it. Or, you know, you don't want to like go and attend and then like it'd be super awkward or something. And so I was like, I don't know if I should go. And my brother kept pushing me. And I went. And the first thing that the Bible study was talking about was like discipleship, community, and... the Holy Spirit is one thing, but those were all ideas that were like I was really struggling with. I was like, I need to find a place that has this. I need to be surrounded by this stuff. I need to be surrounded by people who love God's word, who want to worship him, who want to be stuck in like a family. And, you know, it was in this context of Veritas West that my brother encouraged me to do that. At Veritas West, I had 6 nephews and nieces dedicated there. And then if we go to the next slide of pictures, that is my wedding shower, double wedding shower with me and my brother and his wife and Christiana. And there's my nephew, Ryan. He's a yapper, if you ever meet him. So they hosted us there for the people in Columbus that are family and friends that didn't drive all the way to Dayton. And there's my oldest nephew, Miles. He was the first one to be dedicated, and this year he was baptized. So next photo, here's some more pictures of dedications. Eloise is on the left in her long, flowy dress, and then... then we got William, and then Henry, and then Theodore, and Ryan, all dedicated to the Lord there. Super cool, super, again, in the context of that community, the idea of like the importance of raising your children in the Word of God was raised for my siblings and in my family, and it was been really impactful. So then I guess that brings us to Arbor Church. Next slide. I never attended Arbor Church, but I did get married there. So very special place in my heart. The pastor of Arbor Church actually was the one who recommended to Christiana's family to attend GCF. And so if it... if it weren't for him, I wouldn't have met my wife. Okay, I'm going to try not to cry a bunch of times, but it's going to happen. Here's some photos. Not only did I get married there, but Stephen and Noel got married there, and Christiana's brother got married there. And very special memories for me. I remember in the context of our wedding, sitting around at the reception, and this is like a really church coming together for us moment. There's a lot of people attended our wedding, like close to 200 people, I think, which probably isn't much if you're Kenyan, but it is a lot if you're American, and me and Christiana consciously were trying to perceive how many congregations were represented. Almost impossible. There were pretty much everyone from the church she grew up in attended. Pretty much everyone from Open Door or from Grace Christian Fellowship attended. And so many other people in our lives from growing up. You know, I mentioned people from Open Door when I was in middle school were there. People from Veritas West were there and other Veritas campuses. People from those early house churches were there. People from my godparents are actually friends of my parents who they'd met in a church before I was born. So I never even attended church with them, but they're my godparents and they were there, right? So that's Arbor. Veritas Community Church, Short North. This is another campus. If we go to the next slide. They have several campuses in Columbus and obviously one in Dayton. At one point, my brother started attending here. It was a little closer to where he lived, and he was trying to differentiate himself from the family. He got married in this church, and if we go to the next slide, yeah. So that's him from his wedding. They got married on February 22nd, 2020, and we got married on January 11th, so it was 1-1-1, and then they got married 2-2-2. It was a busy, that's why we did our wedding shower together. It's a little grainy of a photo, I think it was from someone's phone. We also had, I know a lot of you were here when my brother-in-law took his life, and we had his funeral in this building. That's a drawing of his several weeks before that. So a lot of people from all over the church were there for that. Very special to have everyone. I mean, there are lots of people who made the trip from Dayton, from GCF, to be there for me. You know, they didn't know Andre. But they were there. And it's kind of what it's all about, is sharing these life moments with each other. You know, it's living in a sinful world is not easy, and the more light you have in it is really good and really important. So I guess that brings in the chronological order of the current church I'm attending, Grace Christian Fellowship. On the note of weddings and funerals and baptisms, I tried to count. I don't know if I got these numbers accurate or not. I've personally attended 4 weddings here in this building, right here. Not to mention all the weddings I've attended because of the people I've met here. I'm not even going to try and count that. There was a few years where we had quite a run. Yeah. Here you can see Sydney and Melody's wedding. COVID couldn't stop us. There you see Christiana. That was the wedding shower here in Dayton. Just being covered in prayer. I mean, I think it's unique and rare. I think it's getting less rare, hopefully, in the church in the West, of having like this community family style thing where, like, you know, scripture talks about older women praying for younger women. You know, you're seeing it right there. Like, the average age of that room is not the average age of most churches, right? You know, like, it's not just a bunch of young people trying to figure it out. It's such a blessing to have a community, to have people who've gone through life and can share their experiences with you, and to have little ones with around, you know, and have that spark. I also tried to count how many baptisms I've been at GCF. I mean, there's like all the baptisms at the building on Darst, and then this one. I stopped trying to count. Two of them were particularly special to me, I can tell you that. So if we want to go to picture one here, that's just an example of some of the baptisms we've had or dedications. And then I guess I didn't do these slides in order. This is my Asher. Oh, here it is. Okay, yeah, there we go. Martin, my son, got baptized here, surrounded by community. And my godson, Caleb, got baptized here. That is genuine excitement on my face in both pictures. So, very special to me. And then if we want to go back to the slide of Asher, this is the one where I'm going to try not to cry. For those of you who don't know, we fostered Asher Kempton for 9 months, from day two of his life till he was 9 months old. And that happened in the context of this community. Him going back to live with his grandparents and his parents was like, that's what you want. Right. He's a special boy, and when he went on, Christian has seen him once since, and I haven't seen him since. Man, there's like real grief. And it was hard to learn how to grieve someone who wasn't gone. But this, again, the community just covered us in prayer and love. And there's a lot of pictures that I had that I didn't include of people holding Asher and loving on him. And, Christiana worked during that season, and there were people in our church who would babysit every morning for him, and like for free, you know, like we weren't paying anyone anything. And it's just, he knows the Lord because of you guys. So I'm going to pull myself together. Thank you for that. One example of this is like, thank you. I can't tell you how many people that don't attend GCF that knew about this situation shared their thoughts and prayers. It was another one of those situations, is like every church that I knew people in, you know, like my parents attended a congregation and siblings, you know, people in different congregations, and having all of those congregations praying for you. It was hundreds, if not like close to 1,000 people praying for us in that season. During it, leading up to it, during it, and ever since. So, very cool. All right, I guess the last slide here. Speed running this, trying to avoid all the crying. Didn't work. This is my many more slides. That's kind of the placeholder for all the future baptisms and weddings and opportunities for us to share grief with people. The context of the church I grew up in was the church universal. It was the Big C church. It's never once been one congregation that's got it all figured out. It's a lot of broken people, but it's a lot of people who are relying on the Lord just like we are. And going forward into the future, you know, that in my mind and my heart, amount of baptisms you'll experience, or like it's just the same old story turning over and over again. There's like baptisms, there's more baptisms probably this year than there were in the first 100 years of the church happening in the world. Like it's exploded. Like the experience of the church universal is expounding every year. And that's the most clearly you can see that is in these things like baptisms and weddings and funerals. I don't know where I'm going with this. It's getting a little preachy, but I've got like a lot of hope and excitement that I get to be a part of the church and know that it's going to be around. A very special picture. Yeah. So I thought I'd just share a few more pictures here, just of nephews and... I don't have pictures of all the nephews and nieces that have been baptized. I told you, all of them have been dedicated. And, you know, in those circles, the dedication is a promise by the parents that they'll raise the children in the church, and then the church promises that they'll hold them to that. It's similar to, like, if you believe in paedobaptism, it's a similar concept. And so they're getting baptized now. You know, they're at the ages where they're making conscious choices to walk with the Lord. And that's my sister up there. She's been baptized. She got baptized when she was a kid, but, you know, she got older. She's like, no, this is real. I want to dedicate my life to the Lord now as an adult. And that's so cool to see. All of my siblings are walking with the Lord, attending churches. And I texted my family in preparation for this to share any special things they had in their churches, and that's where I got a lot of the pictures. And my dad, he's like, all my kids have been baptized, and I want all the grandkids to be baptized. And it's cool because, like, there's still grandkids being born, right? You know, we're expecting Wesley in a couple months, and
the sister that's being baptized right up there, she's due. And I don't know if I should have shared that. Yeah, it's a little boy. So we're very excited. It was shared on Facebook, so I think it's open to the public. It's been on Facebook. So I guess we got a little bit of time, so I'll answer any questions. But so my sister, who lost her husband, she's remarried a wonderful man. If you go back to that last slide, that picture in the top middle is his son from another marriage. And he's loving on those kids and being a dad to them. So, that in that church, they were on the worship team together, actually. He's an excellent guitar player. My sister loves singing. So they were on the worship team together. So there's, obviously, that kind of thing leaves a hole in a family. And that God fills and heals us for, but there won't be total healing until heaven. So, learned a lot about the Lord through it. One of my favorite memories of a house church situation was just a couple nights after we found out about Andre being in my brother's house, all of us sitting around just for the sake of grieving together and praying together. Like, I don't know if a term I heard recently was thin veil moments. You know, while we're on earth, there's still like a veil between us and heaven. We aren't fully experiencing heaven right now. But there's just these times where it's like the veil is paper thin. You can almost reach out and touch heaven. And, you know, God tore the veil, but we're not with him yet in fullness. But those moments get really close. So, even in grief. Any other questions? I appreciate that. Yeah, the Lord has blessed me. My one sister recently was on Ancestry, did the whole Ancestry thing, and was tracing back like 8 or 10 generations, I don't know, something crazy. And it's like you're seeing believers all the way along, you know, church records. You know, this guy was a traveling evangelist, this person, you know, like, they attended this church their whole life, and super cool. That was another thing at our wedding, me and Christiana sat down, because she has a very similar testimony of, like, you know, both, you know, not on her mother's side, but, like, a long history of believers who have handed down Like, if I could encourage people, one thing why I added that more slide is, like, I think a lot of us feel like we're first-generation believers. I think some people here are first-generation believers who are paving, like, really hard ground, or they're, you know, turning up really hard ground, really compacted ground that lacks nutrition, and they're putting life back into the, like, changing the whole trajectory. And that's where that, like, exponential growth happens, is, like, it starts with people here who are making sacrifices and deciding to follow the Lord over their own desires. And that has an impact. You know, I was talking 8, 10 generations, whatever, you know, like, we can all trace our roots back to Noah, to Adam and Eve. Like, we stand on the shoulder of giants. We stand, like, the church is living and breathing and growing. That's, like, not, I may be, like, down the road of it sharing my perspective, but, like, a lot of people are at the beginning of that same testimony, I think. So, like, there's a promise that those who obey the Lord and love his commandments, you know, that God will be faithful to them to thousands of generations. Like, that's not hyperbole. Right?
Even that song, the blessing that gets sung to your children and their children and their children and their children. Do you pray for the future generations?
That's something I can share about. I can't tell you how many times I've heard from my parents, like, oh, we were praying for that before you were born. You know, at my wedding, my parents being able to share with Christiana, like, we prayed for you to be here since before he was born. You know, and my dad being able to say to me, I prayed that you'd be a better man than me. You know? And that, like, that's the opposite of ego and pride, is, like, who wants to raise someone on, that's like a boss saying they want their protege to exceed them and grow a bigger, better business than them and put them out of business or something, you know. But that's the heart of a believer, is if you're truly submitting yourself to the Lord, you know that you want, like, love is wanting people to be closer to the Lord.
I think that's the difference between boasting in ourselves and boasting in Christ. Is
right.
We know he's better.
I mean, you can't boast in yourself and want your kid to be better than you, because it's like, you can only give them what you have. Right? If your cup is this full, you can't pour water out of this cup into a cup this big.
Unless the Lord.
Unless it's the Lord that's pouring. Right? So, exactly. That's... yeah.
Respect, but it seems like, and it's not pointless to have children. Children are a wonderful thing, but to me, anything without Christ just seems pointless. You know, it just seems like a dead end road. And for my children to not be better than me and to not know the Lord, it just, like, even thoughts of that feel like the abyss for me. You know, it's just, it's, I can't even fathom it. And, you know, I remember going to the, kind of like the ABC training, and Tim Pasma, whatever the guy's name was, you know, he's asking everybody, like, so what do you want your kids to be? All of my kids to, you know, be hard workers or start their own business. He said, no, we should just want our kids to know God and know His Word and to navigate the world by knowing Christ.
Yeah.
You know, and that's truly it. Because yeah. I tell my kids all the time, you know, I want you to be successful. I want you to be great. But as long as you know and love the Lord and you navigate life through that lens, that spectrum, that's
yeah. Yeah. And sometimes that's going to mean, like, your kids don't attend the church you attend. or they don't, you know, when my parents found out we were doing, that, I don't know, they're not paedo Baptists necessarily, right? But we baptized Martin, and there's nothing about it for them. You know, they were like, we're going to be there. Right? Us attending a church in middle school with my sisters and my parents attended a different church. Like, how are you, if you want your kids to know God, they need to know His church. They can't just be like under your thumb or whatever their whole lives. And like, if you want them to know God better than you do, then they're going to have different ideas than you. Than you do, and that's going to be uncomfortable. And sometimes you're going to get to a point where, like, your kid's kind of pulling you along and teaching you stuff, and what a blessing. So, I guess we should close in prayer. Lord, I thank you so much for surrounding me with your church my whole life, and before I was even born or conceived. I'm doing the same for my sons. I thank you for people that prayed those prayers of faith, like Anvesh. Lord, there's so many that, you know, I couldn't even figure it out if I tried really hard. Lord, I look forward to hearing those stories in heaven with you. I pray for those who are at the beginning of this journey, that you would cover their children and bless their children and that their children would know you. I thank you for your promise of being faithful to us to 1,000 generations, Lord. I pray that takes us to your return. And I just want to praise you and glorify you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.